Hey, what's going on, guys? It's been a little bit. It's been a hot minute. What, like almost half a year? Something like that? A lot's happened. Not just in the podcasting world, but in the D&D world. I mean, my God, things have kind of blown up since the last episode of this podcast. And as I'm sure you can tell by the title, it's going to be kind of about that, but mainly about the last thing that just came out yesterday. Because my God, I don't think we have the time. I don't think we have the time in a podcast episode to give an entire recap of everything that's happened. With not only just the open game license itself, the OGL, as the kids are calling it nowadays, the OGL, but just the, I mean, like all the other stuff that WotC's done. Like there's a whole like MTG controversy. There's been all sorts of stuff. So yeah, we're not gonna talk about everything because that's way too much. That's way too much. But what we will talk about is the latest update that I'm sure if you are a D&D player, DM, have any understanding of the tabletop RPG world, then you have probably already seen this, but I'm gonna tell you about it anyway. I'm gonna tell you my take on it too, because that's why you're here, right? You're not usually here for the breaking news, because a weekly podcast is kind of hard to be on top of weekly or breaking news because it kind of comes and goes. I actually don't know why you listen to this podcast. I hope you find it a little interesting, but so January 20th, let's actually talk about what's going on here. I could waffle all day long, but on January 20th, WotC, Wizards of the Coast, who if you are unaware is the creators, or maybe not creators is the right word, but the publishers, the people that own D&D currently. Well, and then Hasbro owns them, so it's a whole thing, money, capitalism, all that jazz. So they released the OGL 1.2. Prior to that, they'd released the 1.1, which is what, well, maybe released if you're not watching the video portion, releases in air quotes here, because it was more of a leak. Right? It was a leak that had sent out to some creators and stuff. They were trying to, from our understanding, trying to push people to sign their OGL 1.1 agreement, which was a huge change. There was royalty changes. So if you make over a certain amount of money, you gotta give Wizards some of that cut, some of that bread. There's also changes to like hateful content and what, like, it basically gave WotC a little bit more control over their product. Which obviously on one hand it's like, okay, makes sense. It's the world's a different place than it was when this first OGL came out. Sure, fine. But then on the other hand, it's hurting a lot of creators, a lot of people. A lot of people understandably were very worried about what was going on. It had a lot of, what should we say, higher up speak. Like this obviously came from management up above at Hasbro, like, hey, we gotta crack down on some of the stuff. Paizo just made so much money, and they're basically using our product from 3 point. Well, it's changed, but you know what I'm saying. So they're looking at it from a money standpoint. Sure, understandable. Big corporations, that's what they do, right? Well, people got understandably upset, so they released a update to that, which was the 1.2 update, which came out on January 20th, about a week ago, a little bit over a week ago at this point. And they kind of stepped back from a lot of it. It had it stayed firm on why there was this update in the first place, besides the money portion that I already talked about. But from what we could kind of gather, that their understanding what they wanted to do with this. Though take for that as you will, it's probably always goes back to the money. But they wanted to remove hateful content that has to do with people that are using D&D, using the OGL, the SRD, to the this, which is means system res reference systems reference documents, the SRD. I will talk a little more about that later too. But it basically is referring to I also want to apologize. I'm looking over at my audio levels, and they seem to be kind of all over the place sometimes. So I apologize if I'm getting a little loud and my audio sounds like shit. I'm still fiddling with how all this audio should sound. I actually might turn myself down a little bit more. Let's do that real quick. All right, looks like I was probably a little overzealous. It sounds maybe not amazing, but it sounds all right. It sounds okay. And that's what we're looking for, sounding okay. So where was I? So the hateful content, that's they kind of doubled down on the hateful content. That's what they're looking for, which was, again, like I was kind of saying, is about stuff that using the D&D system to publish racist content or stuff like that. And trust me, it exists. The friend of the podcast, Kenneth, he showed me something that he found actually at a local store in town where I live. A pretty racist D&D document. That's obviously unofficial, but that's from WotC wanted to kind of find a way that they can remove this type of content from existing, and also wanted to, you know, make some money. So double-edged sword. They want. So anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. It also targeted virtual tabletops pretty hard, like D20 and Foundry. They changed the wording on some, and they viewed those as more like video game-esque kind of things, which is not something that they want. Probably because they're making their own VTT at some point. I mean, they maybe have already announced they have. I've been kind of out of the D&D loop for a little bit here. But regardless, this 1.1, including myself, I read this 1.1. It raised some eyebrows, and people were concerned why there was an update to the OGL period, because there's a lot of talk, you know, that the OGL 1.1 or 1.0 was supposed to stand forever. That was not supposed to change, you know. And so the fact that this is changing at all, and fine, they removed the royalty stuff, great, but there's still some other issues in there, stuff that people were still concerned about. But, you know, to WotC's credit, I guess, if I can say that, they decided to include a survey this time, like they did with the Unearthed Arcana stuff. And through this, they were supposed to get some more information, you know, like they do with the Unearthed Arcana. Maybe they could have done this from the get-go, but that had to be quite the stink from the community, understandably so, to let people know, hey, we don't like this. And a lot of, I mean, honestly, I'm excited about the lot of stuff that came out of it, but I'll talk a little more about that later too. So I think if there's is a bright side to all this, I think there's a lot of cool stuff on the horizon to be looking forward to. So, yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago at this point, I don't know when this podcast is being uploaded, but, there's been some updates since then. I should have put the date. I usually like putting the dates in here, but I did not. I think it came out yesterday. Let me double check, which would have been the 27th. I'm recording this on the 28th. I want to be correct here. Yeah, it did. It came on the 27th. They released a new update. The results are in, they said. I'm just going to read this word for word, and then we'll talk about it. Because the results are in here, they said. They wanted to take the community into account, and the community responded. 88% of responders, which I think they said was like 15,000 people, maybe more than that. A lot of people responded to this. Actually, let me pull up the link here, because I want to tell you for sure. 15,000. I was correct. 15,000 people responded. And here are the results. 88% do not want to publish tabletop RPG content under OGL 1.2. So that's referring to, like, let's say, I think a good example of this would be the Griffin's Saddlebag. Is that what they're called? They make incredible third-party content. Here it is. Yeah, Griffin's Saddlebag. They make third-party content for D&D. I'm a Patreon. I'm a patron of them on Patreon. So they would not, they people like them do not want to publish tabletop RPG content under the OGL 1.2. It still felt too restrictive to them, is my understanding. 90% would have to change some aspect of their business to accommodate to the OGL 1.2. So again, going along, even like Kobold Press or other pretty big, like MCDM, would have to change some sort of aspect of their business to accommodate OGL 1.2. 89% of people are dissatisfied with deauthorizing OGL 1.0A, period. They just don't like that has to change. 86% are dissatisfied with the draft VTT policy. That's probably fair, too. Because then that would basically mean Roll20 and Foundry and other similar services would no longer exist, or they would have to change dramatically in how they would look. And a lot of people have, you know, been using those forever. Anyway, 62% are satisfied with including the SRD, the Systems Reference Document, content in Creative Commons. And the majority of those who are dissatisfied asked for more SRD content in Creative Commons. I'm very surprised that we have such high numbers, 88, 90, 89, 86%, and 62% of people are satisfied with including the SRD in the Creative Commons. That seems like a strange thing to me. I feel like if you're on board with everything else, if you hate everything else, then fuck yeah, put the SRD in Creative Commons. Why wouldn't you want that in there? Doesn't make any sense to me. But so those are the results, and those are pretty overwhelming results. 15,000 people, and out of those numbers, 90% of people would have to change some of their business, et cetera, et cetera. And the draft VTT policy, a lot of people were not happy, I think is the main understanding here. And what this, apparently I have an Amazon package that just got delivered. I don't know if that came over the microphone, but that was pretty loud. I think something that is, that's not in these results, that's important to know too, is a lot of people, there was a big push after this OGL 1.2 came out, maybe a little bit before this too. There were leaks coming from inside of Wizards. There was some controversy, some drama on whether those leaks were true or not, or whatever. It doesn't really matter. But there was a big push for people to unsubscribe from D&D Beyond, because that's the main way, and it makes sense. It's the main way that WotC can see their financial impact of decisions. Because you can't really gauge. Okay, well you can, but it's tougher to gauge. Okay, we released this book before OGL 1.2 and this book afterwards, and it was a 30% revenue decrease, right? So that'd be easy. You can tell that there, but you're not entirely sure if that's because of maybe the book's contents people don't like as much as the one that came previously, or there's other variables, right? There's only one financial medium that D&D wants. You can really tell immediate impact, because they released this. Let's say 10,000 people suddenly unsubscribe from D&D Beyond. That's a pretty, I don't know how many people are subscribed, period, but that seems like a pretty big number to me. So that way WotC can see, okay, well, shit, we're losing a lot of money now. And they've been making a push, we've kind of noticed, with Open D&D and what they want to do. It's funny, it's called One D&D. Open D&D is something different. With One D&D, it seems like they're kind of pushing towards a more subscription-based model, that they want to be able to suck more money out of us. Again, big corporations, that's kind of what they want to do. They want more money out of us, so they found a way to, like, the best way to do that, instead of releasing books that one person out of the group can buy, you can do a subscription service that everyone has to subscribe to, so you can utilize the VTT, or you can all utilize this portion, whatever, right? They've been kind of moving that direction, but I imagine in the next year or so, they'll probably move farther in a subscription-based model. More money, more revenue, sure, fine, whatever. So a lot of people unsubscribed, a pretty big number, if you look at Twitter as a reference. Because obviously they don't tell us exactly how many people left. They don't mention that in their article. But I imagine that probably had something to do with it too. The survey, sure, is all well and good, but you got to hit them where it hurts, and that's the pockets, if we've learned anything. So because of this survey, Wizards decided to leave the original 1.0, the one they released in like 2001 or something like that, completely untouched. They're not changing it. They're not, getting rid of it. They're not doing anything. It's staying there in its entirety, and placing the new SRD, the 5.1 that they, released a little bit ago. And they've made some updates since it seems like it's no longer in super draft form, under a Creative Commons license. So that 62% who were satisfied with that, got what they wanted, I guess. And from my understanding, now that I look at it again, I think the people that were unsatisfied, since the majority of those who were dissatisfied with that asked for more SRD content in Creative Commons, I don't think they added more. I didn't read the entire 403 document, page document, but looking at both drafts, between the one they just released and the one they released earlier this year, look to be exactly the same, which means stuff like certain races aren't involved, certain classes, certain subclasses not in the SRD. Fine. All the mechanics are basically in there. That's fine, I guess. But for those of you who don't know what a Creative Commons or CC license is, this is straight from the website, creativecommons.org, which is a nonprofit kind of thing. It's a like organization, allows reusers, which is us, the people that are publishing content, to distribute, remix, adapt, and build upon the material in any medium or format, so long as attribution is given to the creator. The license allows for commercial use. So this would, if in the future, or let's say the royalty thing was still in there, this would ignore that because it allows for commercial use. And well, we wouldn't ignore that, but you can publish with this and you're fine. You're not going to get sued for making money off of using the SRD. And you just have to include a little credit and include a little blurb, which is included in the SRD. If I remember, I'll link it below. But you can find it on their post here, which I'll definitely link down below. CC license, which is also huge, cannot be revoked. Once it's been applied, it stays unless a person uses it in a way that's not compliant with the license, which from my understanding is literally if you don't include the little blurb that says it credits WotC and credits the, you know, the creator. I could be wrong. I'm not a lawyer. So if you know more than I, please tell me. But a good example that I do use CC material for is for music. A lot of people use it for music, for podcasts, wink, wink, like the thing you're listening or watching right now. YouTube videos as well. People use Creative Commons stuff, and you always see it in the description. It says, you know, a little CC or includes a little thing. It's probably, I think we actually already have it in the description underneath, because I'm pretty sure the intro has a Creative Commons song in it. Like I mentioned earlier, the 5.1 SRD is a 400-page document. And includes all sorts of D&D mechanics, spells, monsters, items, and more. So at the very least, even though it might not have like a hexblade or it might not have certain subclasses in it, it's got all the mechanics. You can just homebrew, kind of make your own, and then publish that if you so wished. And include it. Be a very similar kind of class. You can make all sorts. I mean, the amount of content that's in there is fantastic. And since, like I said, it's in the CC, you'll be fine. Hypothetically, they could revoke the 1.0 OGL in the future. Fine, sure. Maybe not fine, sure. But they could, in theory. But because this huge document's placed under the Creative Commons license, it's, in theory, future-proof. One D&D could affect this, which is like 5.5e, 6e, whatever you want to call it. As who knows if there will be an SRD created for that, or if there will be a new OGL for one D&D. My understanding, or my belief, if you want to hear my theory on it, there probably will be. At the very least, though, we will have this 5e document for good. So if, for example, one D&D is hot garbage, everyone hates it, hey, we could have like a Pathfinder experience where someone makes an offshoot of 5th edition and we have its own thing. Because of the SRD, we have that capability. And the nice thing, too, about this SRD or the OGL kind of thing is that now, because I think it's the SRD, because under Creative Commons, you just got to include that little blurb. Before, you had to copy and paste like the whole thing in there. So it saves a lot of paper and a lot of text. So that's the big update, which is huge. Let's get to my thoughts on it. It's huge for D&D itself. As I mentioned, huge. It's literally what I posted in our Discord. Huge. And another friend of ours posted huge as well. For D&D itself, but also as a person that utilizes the product and who loves third-party material. Oftentimes, I love it more than the official content. And by oftentimes, I mean all the time, I love it more than the official content. But it's also huge that a company as big as Wizards, as large as Hasbro, would allow this. I was fairly confident that they would stick to their guns. The fans would hate them. Everyone would splinter off from D&D. It'd probably fall apart. Hasbro would fall apart. Wizards might fall apart. Who knows? But it's a big company. They usually stick to their guns. I mean, look at Blizzard. Look at, you know, stuff like that. They usually end up sticking to their guns until it affects the bottom line, which it seems like it affected the bottom line enough that they were like, you know what? Let's just ignore everything that just happened. Not to mention, Paizo just had like its biggest week ever. They completely sold out of all of their Pathfinder like core rule books, Pathfinder 2e core rule books, which they were, I think, my understanding, that was supposed to last in like 6 months or something. That took a week and it was gone. So I can imagine the higher ups at Hasbro seeing this and being in a meeting with Wizards employees and just losing their mind. So like, you know what? Fuck it. Just tear it up. Start from scratch. Let's just go back to the beginning. We're losing too much scratch. We're losing too much money. With that being said, though, I am very hopeful and excited to see what comes out of all this. Like, we got Project Black Flag, which, if you don't know that, that's the Kobold Press new system that's being made. That sounds amazing. It sounds super cool. I mean, we know nothing about it besides being made by Kobold Press, which actually, I just got an email to remind me about the playtesting. I don't think it's out yet. Yeah, but you can sign up for playtesting, which I have. You can go to the Kobold Press website and sign up to Black Flag here. Because I love Kobold Press so much, I highly recommend you you check it out. They release incredible content, and they even say here that it will be under the ORC license, or the Open RPG Creative License, which is being created by Paizo, I believe, being headed by Paizo. It's a new open, perpetual, and irrevocable license that was announced on January 12th, and will be shared with the community soon. A lot of people signed up for that. It means it can be usable by anyone. Open content will be released after playtests conclude. So again, it's going to be like what D&D just reset itself to, but probably more open than that. If you guys don't know anything about Paizo, they're the ones, like I said, they're the ones that are heading it. They run Pathfinder, and you can get pretty much all the Pathfinder material for free on certain websites. They just allow it to be publicly available for you to check out, which is fantastic. I'm also excited for the MCDM tabletop RPG because I also love their products. If you guys know, that's the Matt Colville one that he runs. But I also just think more competition in this space will be fantastic, because before this, if you wanted to play a big, you know, had a lot of content for it and a lot of people were aware of it, tabletop RPG, you have two options pretty much. And I'm sure people be in the comments below saying, well, actually, we have this we can play. Yeah, there, I know there's more. There's Morkborg. You got lots of other options to check out. Yes, I'm aware. But, I mean, think about the first time you got into the space. I heard about D&D. I heard about Pathfinder. Those are the two options that I heard about. Of course, after I've been in this space for a long time, I'm like, you know what? I'm getting sick of this crap. Let's try something different. Let's try Morkborg. Let's try some of these other products. And if I don't play them, I'll read them and check them out. So I'm excited for other creators, other big creators, to come into this space, other big publishers come to the space and create something new, something awesome, and to compete with D&D as a product. Because like I said, if you want an pretty accessible, easy to find product, D&D is usually the one people gravitate towards. So having something that can compete with that, that'll hopefully push WotC to not make any more stupid decisions. Hopefully. In the Discord, Coley actually said, a listener, mentioned that if one good thing came out of this, that it showed them that many publishers and fans as well to not be overly reliant on one system for their product slash game experience. And I completely agree with that. I'm having issues with my mixer right now, and I found out how reliant I am on that thing. Literally everything runs through that bad boy. And that's just how it is here. If you rely your entire company off of the SRD or off of the OGL for D&D, and if this had gone through and had been revoked, or you were over that threshold for the royalties and you had to pay them that much cash, that could really hurt. That could really take a big chunk out of your cashola. So you can't be too reliant, and you have to kind of, you know, diversify, as they say. Just like if you were a YouTube creator or a Twitch streamer and something were to happen and you can't stream anymore, or you get banned for whatever reason, you got to diversify and have other revenue streams. Band members talk about this all the time, that if the band were to stop, or they lost their voice, or their hand were not able to play the guitar anymore, that's your revenue stream just gone. So diversify, sure. I'm also very sad that it took this much for WotC and Hasbro to listen at all. I mean, the stink that came out after this was released, it was very stinky. It smelled like someone had showered in God knows how long after rolling around in pig shit or something. Actually, it probably smelled worse than that. Pig shit doesn't smell, well, it smells bad, but not that bad. They must have seen a gigantic financial hit. I think that if there is one sad thing that came out of this, that people can still make inappropriate content, hateful content, as they did previously, but At the very least, it will be left to the market to decide. I think that's basically what they said in this new thing. That's, we're putting it in your hands. So if you see this hateful content, toss it in the trash. Don't pay for it. Report it on, if it's on some website, like on DM's Guild or whatever the hell. Report that content. We can scrape it off the internet as best we can. It'll still exist. It probably would have still existed even if the OGL 1.2 came out, or 1.1, either way. Yeah, this is gigantic for D&D, and I'm, like I said, I imagine one D&D will change this, but at the very least we'll have 5e. And I was even saying in the Discord that I mean, I was already not really huge on D&D. It was just fun to play, you know, fun with friends, whatever. But I already don't really love one D&D. So I could see myself not going over to the next edition, not only because of stuff like this. And I'm hoping by the time the next edition comes out, Black Flag will be out, the MCDM Tabletop RPG will come out. There might even be more that have released since then. And I'm going to check out all of those. I'm excited to see what's coming out into the space. I think, honestly, that's the best thing that came out of this, was the amount of different things that are beginning to be created and starting to come into this tabletop RPG space. Because it was getting a little stale. I mean, if you remember the podcast was on before, we're just shitting all over it, pretty much. So I'm excited to see what comes up next. That's about all I got. I mean, I could shout out stuff, but there hasn't been an episode in 6 months, so I'm just happy to get something up for now. So just, you know, like the video or share the podcast or join the Discord, whatever you want to do, I'm happy with. Thanks for listening. If you did listen this far, I'm sure this is already old news for you at this point, but I figured this was probably a pretty good episode to write and get putting out. I missed the podcast for sure. I missed doing this. So I'm excited to try to figure out some way to make things come back or to figure out a new format or something. I'm still working on it. But I thought this was a pretty big, some big news to come out. I don't know if my thoughts were particularly impactful or necessary to add to this, but hey, it's a podcast they're for, right? No one asked for it, but here it is. So I'll see you guys later. Thanks for listening. Boom.